Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was head or tail.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 217. This is Jorge.
This is Matt.
This is Rhett.
You should have not said this is Rhett. That would have been so much better. What's up, guys? How you doing? You're tired.
I feel like shit.
And you're hungover to an extent.
Yeah.
And I'm filthy. I'm fucking just a hot mess.
Did you go to the gym after you woke up today?
Fuck no.
I thought that's what that would be something you did.
No,
like, I'm gonna sweat out the shit.
I thought about it, but like I was seriously so fucking drunk when I woke up.
Mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
I didn't eat anything until like noon.
Yeah, but you ate plenty last night.
Yeah, I fucking ate a shitload last night. And yeah, it was just bad news bears all around. I barely had enough energy to drag my ass off the couch and watch Event Horizon this morning.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Event Horizon with a hangover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First time, first time I ever watched it, I was on shrooms.
Oh, wow.
Not first time, but like I
got you. Yeah. A big
one
time.
Of the first times, yeah.
Okay.
Was on shrooms.
Cool. Well, have you watched anything besides Event Horizon?
I watched three things. Actually, I started watching Chernobyl. I don't really give a fuck. I don't get it. Like, I'm watching it. I'm like, this is just fucking slow and boring.
It's
and,
slow?
Yeah.
You're dumb.
I mean, I know it gets right to the point, but like once like the meltdown started happening, I'm like, I don't care. I only watched the first episode, so like, we'll see.
You weren't hooked by the first episode?
No.
You okay, that's it. Then you're done. There's no... You won't like the rest of it.
Really?
Oh, it yeah. only goes...
I'll probably watch it again with Alia. So
for you,
can, like,
it would
attention.
Only go downhill from there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was hard to watch.
Suck it in, suck it in, suck it in. Rin, tin, tin, mambalin. Wait, you guys know that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Make a desperate move or else you'll win. And then begin to see what you do to me.
I don't know, you guys.
It's not for free. It's so PC, it's killing me.
How do
so
you
desperately
know
I sing
the
thee of love. You don't know that part though, huh?
Fear itself.
Okay, well, I'm kind of bummed that you don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to give it another shot because Alia wanted to watch it, but there's just so much other shit to watch.
That... I mean, episode two...
Attack of the Clones.
Some of the body horror stuff is introduced, but it doesn't get much more exciting than the first episode.
It's actually funny that you mentioned body horror because I watched a body horror movie too.
Oh, yeah!
And actually, we could probably take it out of our little jar now. It's Thanatomorphos.
Okay. What?
Yeah, Thanatomorphos. It's like, it's Canadian, it's a body horror flick, but it's
damn,
like...
They're trying up in Canada.
I think it's...
Cronenberg.
Dang it.
It's got a beat. It's got a hella beat.
It's got some clap. Yeah, it's not that it's not that great, not that bad. It's just another body horror movie, but with no story.
No story. Gotcha.
There's really no story. No discernible
story. That was the ice cream truck
anyway.
Brought to you by everyone.
And I watched a movie called Boar,
mm-hmm.
which is fucking badass. It's basically just
ironic.
Like, why?
Because the movie's called Boar.
But it's like Boar.
Yeah, like a giant boar in Australia.
Oh, not just. Not boar as in drill, but boar as in...
Not like boar as fucking... in cerebral boar from Turok, the dinosaur.
Yes.
But like a fucking wild Ooh, boar.
Dude,
deep
do you
dive.
Do you even video game?
Remember that?
Whoa!
See, the cerebral boar is a good thing.
I'm impressed.
Cerebral nice. Boar.
It was a little drill that went into the dinosaur's fucking head.
Well, I guess that makes complete sense.
It was a good 90s first-person shooter. It was a fun one.
I had a remake not that long ago.
I played the remake. I didn't dig it.
It was not good.
Pretty fun shooting things with arrows, though.
She
big fan of that.
All right, cool.
But Boar is awesome. It's got John Gerard or whatever his name is from Wolf Creek.
Hawkeye.
And it's basically like a monster movie, and people are getting. It's basically like Sharknado levels of crazy.
All right, I'm into that.
Great.
I'm into that.
And then I watched Over Your Dead Body, the Takashi Miike movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a Takashi Miike movie,
so you know what nice. You're getting into.
Yeah, it's you know, it's got moments of dread and like a lot of really unsettling environments, and then some crazy gore in it. But
It's, I like that.
It's all right.
All right, cool.
It's not bad.
I got nothing cool like all that stuff.
You got nothing. In non-horror news.
Yeah, non-horror news. I watched Rocket Man again. It's this year's A Star
Is
Born.
That is definitely non-horror news.
And
wasn't A Star Is Born this year's A Star Is Born?
That was last year.
Oh.
And I continued showing Fran the Star Wars films for the first time. So we got through episode showing 1, Fran 2, and 3, and episode 7.
Showing Fran the non-robotic life form that I am currently seeing.
Right. The carbon-based life form.
Mm-hmm.
Who no. I occasionally spend time with.
And God, is that, is it, you know, I was just trying to be respectful. Seriously. And then, what else did I see? I saw something else.
I don't know, dude.
Oh, she made me watch, she made me watch three movies. This is kind of funny. Well, not really.
How funny is it?
Because I kept showing her my movies, right? And I showed her like Blue Velvet and Amadeus and fucking.
You're just hitting her with all the heavy hitters.
And, but yeah, no, but she's loving it. And then she's like, we're always watching your stuff. I'm like, yeah, because it's fucking good. You
she's
know?
Like, so, well, let's watch one of my movies. Here's Legally Blonde.
She made me watch Bridget Jones' Diary.
Oh.
She made me watch Dirty Dancing. And she made me watch fucking.
You've never seen Dirty Dancing?
I had been tried. Every woman from every major relationship tried to show me that movie, and I did not. I went on strike.
You know what? In the middle of that movie. You know what?
She's your girlfriend.
Neither have I.
Yeah, neither have I.
Because it's fucking hard to... Dude, why do I care?
It
gets to a point where she's dancing on the stairway, and I'm like, what are the stakes here? She's all, the other girl's pregnant, and she has to fill in for her. I'm like, that's it? That's it? And she's like, well, yeah. I mean, and it's the rich people. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I don't care. And then they just keep showing Patrick Swayze's back muscles and he's barefoot on the log.
Hell yeah,
I'm like, dude, I can't do this right now, you know? And then, like, anyway.
I'm with you.
And then the other one we watched was My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
That's
I'd never
a decent
seen...
movie.
Well, see, you know what my favorite was of the three? Bridget Jones.
Bridget Jones is also good. I like Bridget Jones.
I have not seen any
that's
of those
a good
movies.
Movie.
But that's a separate podcast.
That is a separate podcast. That's like, all together.
And I've been listening to like Christopher Cross all week because from Reanimated Records, I got a Christopher Cross album last week. So I've been like, I watched those three movies, been listening to Christopher Cross, and it's like.
You're on a good one this week.
Whew.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
All right.
Soft rock and
soft.
Yeah.
You know, you should just work at Reanimated and just get paid in store credit.
I think Nick would. I was there again yesterday. And I got Lord of Illusions.
I think Nick would take you on for a shift during the weekends.
I think he might.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool. And he's kind of, it's cool because you can tell he's an introverted dude, but he has his store. But he's like, you know, he likes his store, but then he's kind of like.
He also has to interact with people.
Yeah, he's like, oh yeah, yeah, cool.
You gotta go. Gotta go. Yeah, Nick's a good dude.
Yeah.
So we started the newest season of A Handmaid's Tale.
Mm. It's not good. I didn't watch anything after the first one.
I wouldn't say it's not good. It's still good. It's a little boring for where we should be at. There's some very exciting things happened at the end of the last season, and I feel like they're losing the steam.
Is this the third season or the fourth season?
It's the third season. And I feel like they're losing the steam of the goodwill that they built up from the second season, and I kind of wish that they would fucking hurry the shit up. Because I'm getting a little bit bored.
They just need to like smack them back into line.
Maybe we need to start cutting everybody's clit off. Yeah. That's what they need.
Oh, is that what happened?
Well, I mean, second season, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Someone gets their fucking clitoris cut off.
That is crazy.
That'd be like having your foreskin removed. And, you know.
Would it?
Yeah.
I think it would be like having the head of your dick removed.
Nah.
That's where like all the nerve endings are. It's essentially the same thing.
I think it's the same. It's the equivalent of it, right?
I don't think so.
Am I wrong on this?
I think
the equivalent of what now?
So, like, getting your
getting your clitoris removed. Facebooking.
Oh yeah, getting your clitoris removed.
Is it the same as getting your foreskin removed?
Okay,
an equivalent.
No, it's like
it wouldn't be just the foreskin.
The foreskin.
Shut the fuck. But okay, there's a part of your foreskin, of your dick, that's very like the clit. And you know what I'm talking about. That little, you know, like the front part of the dome where it has that, where it has that, the meeting point between the fucking mushroom tip and the shaft.
You mean the frenulum.
Yeah.
That fucking thing. That's the clitoris of the guy.
That's
so it would be like removed. It would be like getting like some fucking nail clippers and just clipping it off.
Ugh.
Yes.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's, yeah.
That's worse than that, though.
That's the closest thing to me.
It's like actually sent a chill down my spine.
Yeah, that would be rough. Because that's the thing, too, where they, if they keep sucking after you come or something, that you're like, whoa! Where you go straight autist. Dude, it's true. Wow.
Oh, God.
If Jesus. Listener, they're actually laughing. They're not just looking at me in silence with that concerned face.
So I got a message the other day, and I wanted to talk to you guys about it. A listener slash friend of the show messaged me and were asking about horror movies for a 12-year-old.
Okay.
And I didn't really know what direction to go in because obviously, like...
First question, is the 12-year-old a bitch? Because, like...
You mean by define?
No, I mean, like...
I don't want to assume.
The way it was
like a little weenie.
The way it was presented to me is the 12-year-old wanted to be a horror aficionado by the end of summer.
Aficionado?
Yes.
Well, you like, can't. Yeah, so,
and so my
watch
question,
Antichrist.
And so my question was, what's the parents' tolerance for violence or sex or whatever? And ironically, they said, violence, A-okay, but sex, not so much.
Well, you're in luck, because most horror films...
Show them Antichrist.
That's both.
That's a good start. Especially because it starts with a dick.
This is a boy?
This is a child of the female persuasion.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. I don't know why that's different, but it is a little bit. But have they seen stuff like Gremlins? Have they seen stuff?
So here was a list that I sent because I wasn't quite sure what...
You want to pique their interest also.
Yeah, like do they have no frame of reference for anything? Right. Like have they seen, you know, like...
So this is a list that I sent just because I didn't know, like I was like, these feel like they're okay for a 12-year-old to watch. I sent Gremlins, Ghostbusters, It, both versions, The Exorcist, Troll Hunter, Arachnophobia, Jaws, Poltergeist, Signs, Alien, Aliens, Paranormal Activity, the first one, Cabin in the Woods, Shaun of the Dead, Cloverfield, 10 Cloverfield Lane, Return to Oz, 28 Days Later, The Descent, Evil Dead, and Drag Me to Hell.
Yeah, you have a very good fucking list there for a 12-year-old, in my opinion.
I thought that was like
very
a good...
Very accessible, too.
But I mean, like, there's...
It's a good spread of stuff, different stuff.
Yeah.
You're covering a lot of... You're covering a few different decades.
I didn't want to be too... I didn't want to be like, yeah, fucking go fucking...
Well, you said The Exorcist. That exposes her to some hard shit.
But I mean, I figure you would throw on movies like Ginger Snaps or like...
Well, see, I could have gone on. I could have gone like Hard Candy, Ginger Snaps, you know, Trick or Treat. But I...
Well, it's like, how do you become a horror aficionado in a summer? Like, I mean, maybe if she had a frame of reference from before and it's just like, what absolute must-sees are there? Then like, that makes sense, but... Yeah, you gotta watch.
Because I didn't want to go like American Guinea Pig
Nightmare
shit.
You gotta do fucked up stuff, dog.
If you want to be an aficionado, and if she's 12, so she's coming into teenage years, I think you'd want to go Nightmare on Elm Street. You'd want to go Halloween.
Yeah,
you'd want to go one of the Friday the 13th.
The original biggies.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just to throw maybe them in there, and they're all teen centered.
Maybe that's where I misstepped. I didn't include any of those.
Well, just so she knows what the hell people are talking about. But yeah. I don't think, personally, the films you named are very good films is the thing. But if you're, you know, if you want to be an aficionado and you haven't seen Halloween or Nightmare on Elm Street and you're a teenager, those movies because they're about teenagers.
And then you get thrown back to like the old stuff like Freaks and Nosferatu and stuff like that. Do you watch those too? I mean, a lot of those older movies like the Universal Monster ones, like those are kind of fucking boring to watch now if you haven't grown up watching
them. I figured, here's what I thought. I thought that maybe you give her movies that are more fun than not.
More accessible.
And then she can branch out and figure out what path she wants to go on. Because obviously like the three of us have different paths that we go on in terms of films. So your path is more gore-centered, more...
Yeah, see, I mean, I was showing my little sister Friday the 13th when she was like two.
Like, you know, and I would say steer more like sci-fi horror, and this guy would Cronenberg it.
Yeah.
A kid?
It's like, a kid couldn't handle Cronenberg. Dude, you got to wrap mind around Cronenberg.
Well, they're cerebral movies,
have you ever
too.
Been
they're gross and they're bros? Cerebral, you know?
Yeah.
It's like,
I don't know. So I figured, not the kid stuff. I figured I gave her sort of like
a... Scream should have been on that list.
Jesus Christ.
Someone's at the door.
Cheese and rice.
Let me go find out who's there, dude.
It better be burritos.
Did you guys order burritos this time?
Yeah.
You did?
There's nobody there.
Damn, man.
See, this is where George wants us to continue talking. He didn't cut that stuff out.
Oh, yeah. He didn't cut it out last time, did he?
He did cut something weird, though. Like, I was saying something, and then he just, like, cut. It was, like, a weird cut.
Oh.
Yeah.
We're back.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a joke for you.
Oh. Okay.
What does the water eat besides spaghetti and meatballs?
What does the water eat besides spaghetti and meatballs?
I don't know. What's it eat?
Spaghetti and meatballs juice.
Got him. Spaghetti and meatballs juice is the answer, folks.
That,
woo!
That joke has changed like 20 times in the last
She's
hour.
She's developing it. That's good.
She's developing first, the audience. She's
yeah.
like, well, these guys are real autistic.
She's at like, at first I know, it was, yeah. what did I know, the I know what the public wants.
So anywho, yeah, that's I didn't know. I mean, because I wanted to be... I probably should have thrown in the thing.
Scream should have been on there.
Scream.
That movie, it's fun.
How many movies can we throw at a 12-year-old to watch over a 2-month period?
Dog, if you want to be an aficionado, you better be watching like 4 movies a day. You got like 2 months.
Whoa,
get on it.
Whoa. Hey,
you know what?
They also have to go outside.
Or you could just make
though,
her watch It Follows the whole summer, so she'll be afraid of getting AIDS.
A real heavy-handed
and
metaphor.
And really like 80s synth music by the end of it.
Yeah, there you go.
Or well, hate it.
That is a great score in that thing, by the way.
It is a good score. A score. What's up with the news, my dudes?
Three from Hell trailer came out.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to watch it, but I don't have to be happy about it.
You're not very into this movie.
I mean, I like Devil's Rejects, but it's really the only Rob Zombie movie I liked. So if it's more of that, just like over-the-top violence for violence sake, mm-hmm. then I'm in. But
okay.
I'm not excited. Spirit Halloween is releasing a life-size terror dog from Ghostbusters, the big-ass fucking dog. $500 dues. Yeah, it's 59 inches long. So it's like 5 feet long.
A life size who?
The dog from Ghostbusters.
What fucking dog?
The fucking dog, dog.
Damn, dog. Am I in an alternate fucking universe?
I'm giving
birth. Oh, those things.
I'm giving birth.
Rick Moranis dog and shit. Yeah, that's different.
Different from what?
Only zoo. I was thinking like there's a dog, like Ghostbusters have a dog.
It's a terrier. Dog that is a dog.
No, I mean like they have a dog like in the suit.
It's a
like
fucking
he's like
Labrador.
A mascot. Yeah, like they have, you know what I mean? Like they
retriever.
Have a pet. I'm like, damn, dude, I did not see that version.
It's the cartoon.
That's the fucking, yeah.
There's a... It comes out August 21st, so you got plenty of time to save up for it. Wait, Patreon's going to buy that shit? That's not
no,
true. That's
they
not
are
how we
not.
Operate here. Nickelodeon's got a Are You Afraid of the Dark reboot coming this October. It's going to be...
I heard that was shelved.
No, the show is still happening. They're
the movie
doing,
was shelved,
yeah,
right?
3-episode, hour-long limited series. With a whole new Midnight Society. The movie wasn't shelved. It was just taken off the 2019 release calendar.
Okay.
So that probably means they'll drop it in January, which means it probably sucks.
Right, because January is a dumping ground.
Yeah, yeah, for garbage movies.
No man's land for fucking movies.
It's when even the studios are like, wow, it's not marketable or good.
It's when they don't release the embargo until the day before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, fuck those. That Chucky game, the Child's Play game, Escape Zedmark came out. I played a little bit of it. It's whatever. It's,
Is no bueno?
No, I mean, it's basically like Pac-Man, but like, you know, Chucky's walking around stabbing at you and, it's, you know, you got to hit like 4 or 5 switches and then the exit gate opens. But
so not good.
It's kind of hard. I mean, it's fun for, you know, a few minutes, but.
Okay, cool.
It's free at least. Blumhouse is remaking Black Christmas.
Yes,
this year.
That was I saw that.
I saw the poster for it.
I don't know how I feel about it. I mean,
I haven't seen Black Christmas.
Really?
Dude. The 74 one, right?
Dude. Either one of them?
Nope.
I hadn't seen it since the I hadn't seen it up until we watched it for the show.
Yeah.
It's real fucking good.
That's what I've always good. Heard that. And I've never good. Seen it.
It's fun.
I've never seen that one.
This is they just remade it what like 10 years ago? It's like, yeah, I don't remember when.
Black
they did.
Mirror, Black Summer, Black Christmas.
What's the message you're trying to say?
Yeah, what are you guys trying to do?
Once you go black, there's a market there, so keep doing it.
Yikes.
Black market.
Yeah. See? He got it. Black market.
Black Friday. Good for the market. Got him.
Got him. I guess.
Miramax is for sale. So, like, that could impact the Halloween and Scream franchises because both of those are owned by Miramax.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it could see either more movies getting made or none of it at all.
Or less movies.
Yeah.
It could be either.
Could go either way, depending on who buys it.
What a non-piece of news.
Sony is doing animated shorts based on Anthony Bourdain ghost stories.
That seems like a bit of a cash in.
They're called Hungry Ghosts, and they're all like culinary inspired ghost tales.
That does seem like a bit of a cash in, and that's kind of gross.
Watch, it's going to be the best horror thing that's come out this century. Anthony Bourdain's culinary inspired ghost stories.
That's definitely going to be Glenn Danzig's new movie.
Oh, here we go.
That's going to be the best thing ever.
Tell me about this.
They're saying that it premiered last night at Cinepocalypse, and they're saying that it is the horror equivalent of The Room.
Yes.
But the, But how can you say, I mean,
maybe it's just terrible acting. They just say it's fucking awful. Terrible directing, terrible dialogue.
Yeah, but The
and
Room...
And Danzig is like, he's like Tommy Wiseau, but horror. That, but the, like, makes, but the room, that makes sense.
The Room is a very special thing.
Oh, it is now. Now you believe it's special.
I still hate it.
Why would you... How could you hate that?
I don't like it. I don't like the culture around it.
The
I don't like these midnight... I don't like these midnight showings with spoons.
Oh, spoons? So good. So good. Plastic spoon. You haven't been to one.
I don't like
you
it.
You would laugh your fucking ass off.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
You're going
to
come with me.
I wish.
We have to go as a field trip.
I wish it would go away.
Yeah.
Go away.
Nah.
I'm not going to Brian's fucking birthday screen.
It's like, that's it's like church.
I will. Dude, I'm down for drinks.
Yeah.
I'm down for karaoke. And then you lost me at The Room.
Oh, not me. Not me. Nah. No, you guys got to go with us.
No, fuck no.
We're not going.
Just give it one fucking shot. For Christ's sake. I'll buy your tickets and
shit. I've seen the movie. I don't want to see it all
again. No, you haven't seen the people. Like, when they're doing these long panning shots, the people are like, go, 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 go. And it gets to the end of the bridge, and they're like, yeah. It's fucking awesome.
I've been to that Rocky Horror thing.
Yeah, that's
I'm not a fan.
And it's just fucking annoying.
I don't like that.
I don't want audience participation.
You know what? I don't like fandom in general. So fuck that movie. Yeah, in your face.
Fandom.
Stupid. Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that sort of thing.
It's like making fun of, like, life. It's like, I love it.
You're dumb.
You're dumb.
Yeah.
Like, if you ever had, like, a really painful breakup, and then that movie, you go watch that movie, and it's like,
Only always.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's laugh at the whole human drama. God, big fucking joke.
Ridiculous. If I was going through a really painful breakup, I think one of the last things I would want to do is see The Room.
Oh, it's good.
It's like, well, my life fucking sucks. I might as well make it suck more.
I don't know that that's what he was saying, but.
That's not, but. I suggest
that's what I'm saying.
Anyone is going through major grief, go see The Room.
He didn't say your girlfriend broke up with you, so go watch The Room.
You know, I'll say that though now.
But now,
now I'll recommend it. In that
shit. Anything else?
No.
You have any family members that just passed away? Go see The Room.
A lot of dogs passed away this week, dude.
Yeah,
what the fuck
crazy.
Does that mean? Dude,
Lacey had to put her dog.
A lot of our friends, man. Our good friend, Chef Mike.
Yeah, Mike. His dad passed away.
Our collective condolences to all those.
Yeah, man. Dogs. Well, I mean, we talked about it before. This show has lost a lot of dogs.
Yeah,
we've been through four
in the span of the show,
and it. You know, they become your goddamn family members, and it sucks. It sucks when they go because you spend a short amount of time with them, but for them, it's their whole life. And it fucking sucks because, you know, shit.
Because shit. Yeah, it's fucking rough.
I can't even... Rough.
I don't want to... Got him.
God, self-got him. I had to tell the story about PJ the other day, dude.
Red's got his tongue like all cocked, like he's ready to.
He's ready to go.
To say you're rough, but I'm trying not to.
I had to tell the story about PJ the other day, and I choked up halfway through, dude. Fuck.
That dog was on a collision course with death. He was always fucking bleeding and gashing himself.
He was getting his poor PJ.
He's racing towards it.
Racing greyhound. I get it. All right.
I didn't even intend to make that joke.
You're on a good one right now. Yeah. Rough, racing. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and talk about Event Horizon.
I gotta make peepees.
Yeah. So you can make all the peepees you want in just one moment.
So much peepees.
We'll be right back. It's a good bit. And we are back.
It's that gif of Elmo shrugging.
you googled the gif of Elmo shrugging?
No, Jazzy said it didn't send. Oh, now she gets it.
Oh, hey Matt.
Yeah, buddy.
What is up with the Patreon, homie?
Patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast is how wonderfully thoughtful people help us idiots continue to run this show. You know what we got to pay for? Things like movies in the theaters and web hosting and all that other fun stuff.
All the boring stuff.
We don't want to pay for. Smooth. Because this already takes enough of our time. So these people help us out by donating as little or as much as they want. And in return, they get bonus episodes, exclusive content. All kinds of fun stuff. We have a bunch of movies coming up soon that we're releasing Patreon for. Recording it in like 3 days.
Is that 3 days from now?
Yeah, we got to do that.
How many movies do we have to watch?
Three.
So whoops.
That's what smooth. Day?
Tuesday.
That's Tuesday?
That's Tuesday.
Oh, that ain't happening.
Yeah. So we'll have
I mean, it'll happen.
Maybe Thursday.
Maybe we won't watch all the movies.
We'll have exclusive episodes on Santa Sangre, The Loved Ones, and Stan Helsing.
Oh, boy.
George is like, I'm definitely going to watch Stan Helsing.
I'm watching Stan Helsing. Thank you.
So, yeah.
Why are you looking at me? I'll fucking watch them. I just got to have access to these bitches. I'll rent them and shit.
Stan Helsing is on Patreon, or not Patreon, Prime.
It my mission of life to watch those three fucking movies.
Okie dokie. So hey. The Who Goes There podcast watched Event Horizon, 1997's Event Horizon, directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, written by Philip.
The W.S. stands for World Series.
Eisner. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Sam Neill, Kathleen Quinlan, Jolie Richardson, Richard T. Jones, Jack Noseworthy, Jason Isaacs,
Noseworthy.
Sean Pertwee.
This cocaine Peter is definitely noseworthy.
Marinker, Noah Huntley, and a bunch of other fucking people.
His name is actually Noseworthy.
Noseworthy. This cocaine is Noseworthy.
It's awful Noseworthy.
That's one where you wouldn't just change your name if you were in show business. You would just change your fucking name.
Maybe he changed his name to Noseworthy.
Yeah.
He like did a bunch of coke. He's like, you know what? I should change my last name to Noseworthy.
What's your name, kids? What's your stage name? Noseworthy. Why?
Why not? Good point. Matthew, what'd you think of Event Horizon on this view?
You know, I'm gonna have to check with my sources, but I'm pretty sure this is near a perfect fucking movie. Just gonna say that.
Okay. Rhett?
That's what you said? Is he just say that?
He's saying it.
Fantastic production design does not a good movie make. Nice ship. Also very unfunctional.
Nice ship, retard.
Very dysfunctional ship. Why do you have spikes everywhere in the fucking engine room?
Okay, we'll get to it. Hold on. We'll get to it.
It's like the guy who directed this directed Mortal Kombat. Oh, wait, he did. The fuck?
He had those spikes left over from the pit.
He had to put the spikes somewhere.
I know it's a cult film. I got other good things to say, but yeah.
Okay. Just call it Resident Evil.
Well, I said let's put the rest of the spikes in Resident Evil.
Because he did that fucking shit, too.
He did that shit, too.
Did he?
Yeah,
he did all of them. He did every single fucking one of those movies.
Really?
Yeah,
this motherfucker's the hack of the fucking lifetime.
Yeah, dude. Okay. All memes aside. Fuck this stupid ass movie.
What?
Come on. This movie sucks.
I cannot believe
stupid.
What I'm hearing.
It's a silly piece of shit.
You're a silly piece of shit.
You're a silly piece
I
of shit.
I can't handle
it. I cannot listen to this
bullshit.
I can't bullshit.
Handle how fucking terrible this movie is. And
this movie is rad as fuck. This is a sci-fi movie, too. This is the perfect marriage of fucking sci-fi and horror. Who needs fucking aliens? Because this is it right here.
There is no rad about this movie.
This movie is
dumb
hella
as
rad.
Fuck.
No.
Hella rad, dumb as fuck.
Yeah, that movie wouldn't even exist without Alien, but whatever.
Got him.
It's not true. It wouldn't exist. Yes, it would.
Fuck, I did a deep dive on this fucking movie while I watched it this morning. I really did, because I've seen this movie before. Wait a minute.
That's cool.
Wait a minute.
That's pretty good, Papa Bear.
Yeah. Oh, what do you think of that? Why do they keep calling?
It's whatever.
Come on, Mama Bear. Well, how's this going to be a perfect movie? Just that fucking is not, like, come on.
It's whatever. I mean, it's
choice. It's whatever. It's not whatever.
It's a stylistic choice, you know?
It's
like,
unacceptable.
Here's what I would tell you.
I literally, I called Chris Boo Bear in the fucking Instagram post. Here's what I would tell you.
I think this movie has a lot of visually cool shit going on.
Fuck yeah, it does.
But everything else, acting.
No, it's got a cool ass concept too, and like the acting's not bad.
You know what?
Like,
Sphere also had a cool concept, but that was a piece of shit also.
That's not necessarily
true. It's the same
movie.
It's the same fucking movie.
Sphere is not the same movie.
It's the same movie, except for underwater.
No, this one goes to hell.
Yeah, it's the same movie, except for underwater. Sorry, dude.
What?
Okay. Where'd you go? Did you blink out of Facebook real quick?
Yeah, no. Sphere is the same movie because they... Come on now.
Yeah, dude. It is.
It's not at all true.
Sophie's Choice is the same movie, except she gives her daughter to the Nazis or her son to the Nazis at the end.
You get it, dude. You finally get it.
What are we talking about? Wait a minute.
You finally transcended your own bullshit.
This shit came out in 97.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I saw this in the theater because I remember the trailer.
The theater.
It came out in August of 97. I remember it well.
And yeah.
I remember in the theater, I was like, this is not good. However, I was in high school. I remember being very unsettled by the imagery and having kind of this like bad taste in my mouth for a week after this movie that, wow, that movie kind of went there with imagery, which it still does.
Yeah. I'm not saying it doesn't.
Even at the corniest parts, it has this general feeling of unease.
What parts were corny? Like,
okay, every time someone opens their fucking mouth.
I will
Sam Neill.
I will admit, like, that space jump tackle that Lawrence Fishburne does, like, from the outside when the guy goes out the air, like, that's cheesy as fuck.
Well, anytime anybody's in space is fucking cheesy. He's like, oh shit, motherfucker, we're in space.
He's not Samuel Jackson.
It was bad.
He says the word motherfucker.
Does he?
Yes.
He's like, I'm coming, motherfucker. Oh yeah, that guy. I was like,
he's all, where am I?
I was like, why is he
in these situations?
I was like, why is he plummeting towards this planet?
How am I always in this? What? I'm sorry, what?
He's the one. He's outside fixing things. He's always getting like left behind.
And the funny shit that they do in this movie too is that they have this sense of like kind of silly comedic timing where they're like, what happened on this ship? I don't know. Meanwhile, they pan over to a bloody wall that nobody's noticed.
Yeah, but also like it's hallucination, so maybe they're playing with us as
we're hallucinating as the audience.
We're hallucinating that the blood is on these consoles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It transcends your expectations.
But the corpse was Trickster.
No, the dog was Trickster.
There's no dog in this movie.
Ain't no fucking dog in this motherfucking movie.
You didn't know there was a dog in Ghostbusters.
I didn't think of that as a dog. Mm. I think they refer to it as a dog in the movie, though. Rick Moranis does.
Yeah.
So I get it now. Back to Event Horizon.
It's not good. It's not good. It's not nearly as fun as people make it out to be.
I understand why it's grown in stature to be a cult film because of its imagery and its design. I mean, seriously, the ship, the design of the ship. A good reference point is Alien, especially because I was looking at this. The first draft of the script had an interdimensional entity, and it was an actual physical entity. And they said the director had the good sense to be like, that's too much like fucking Alien. Let's not make it a physical entity. Make it more like The Shining, where the
demonic
things.
Yeah.
And then he liked Hieronymus Bosch's paintings of hell.
Yeah.
So he's like, okay, we'll incorporate that.
He liked Hellraiser and Clive Barker.
Well, right. Clearly.
Right. Well, and all of that stylistically is a great fucking choice. I mean, it makes the movie worthwhile at all to me as a whole. If you're a horror fan, sure.
The design of the ship itself, I mean, with the whole, you know, the actual like singularity machine and all that, I think is fine. I don't know, like what. The ship is spiky and kind of gothic for no fucking reason. It's
definitely not functional reform. There'd be no reason other than design features.
And so
for that
me,
ship
I'm
yeah,
like,
it looks cool as fuck. That's why.
So me, I'm like, what's the fucking point of the spikes? I don't understand. Why are the doors spiky? Why do the fucking doors have?
That
a
was
spiky?
Maybe that was those the are one manifestations that I was like, of the ship itself developing.
Oh, it's creating the spikes.
See, yeah, the door maybe is the one maybe that got me because it was only like one door and it had like
spikes
the,
on it
the
too. too.
Yeah, I was like, why the fuck? Like, where are those going to go into?
Yeah, like an iris good is closed with spikes. And I'm like, oh, fuck, man, why?
It's a kinky ship. What can I tell
it's
you?
It's a kinky ass ship. You know, it's a good point.
Yeah, there's like the original version of this was like 45 minutes longer.
Thank God.
And way more violent.
Like, yeah, they were.
I'm wondering if it makes it like better, you know, like
to me, yes, because I you know, and here's the thing,
you mean to add the 45 minutes?
No, this movie has to be shorter,
but I want
hour and 36 minutes.
I want more violence.
Remove the beginning, chop the beginning off, give me more torture scenes.
Way more.
I don't, because I don't care. I don't care. I don't care about anything about in
no, the care. Yeah, the characters
are so fucking disposable that it's almost like mind bendingly bad.
That being said, casting of Sam Neill is creepy as fuck in this movie because it's Sam Neill. Because I'm like, this is the nice guy from Jurassic Park, but he gives that, you know what, the couple times at the beginning,
he gives it gravitas.
He gives that Jurassic Park look. I'm like, why is he fucking looking at that like it's a brontosaurus? Like, don't give me that. And it's like, he's a scientist. He's just objective. Like, okay, you're in the wrong fucking movie.
Now, here's the thing too, because I wonder what. Okay, here we go.
With this and In the Mouth of Madness, though, Sam Neill is like in that little like niche horror fucking like. Good job, dude.
What's the point of this movie? Is it to show that humanity is ultimately corrupted by blah blah blah?
I kind of like the premise and the point.
Science ultimately brings our downfall.
No,
I don't think that's shit.
We don't know what's out there. We don't know what.
Yeah, I don't think there's a moral at all.
Here's the thing: does Sam Neill go to the ship with the intention of opening a hell portal?
Yeah.
Or is he corrupted by the ship when they show up?
I think, you know, so I was thinking about this when I was watching it this morning.
It's showing curiosity how it naturally leads down that rabbit hole, if anything, but yeah.
It feels like he was doing it the whole time, though. Because, you know, from the very beginning, like, when you know what's going to happen, you're watching it and you're like, okay, he does seem kind of shady. Like, he's got these little looks every now and again, and maybe it's the brontosaurus look, I don't know.
Yep.
But there's stuff where it looks like he's hiding something, or he's up to something, or he's not telling them everything he knows.
Yeah.
So I think he went there with the intent of doing
what?
It. I don't know, to like...
To bring the ship back?
I think to add more souls to the ship.
I like what it's doing in that it fuses two things that, for a lot of people, don't usually go together, and that's religion or mysticism and science. In that they're saying, they're postulating, that hell is an actual physical place. Like in the cosmic scheme of things,
that you can get to.
Hell is for children.
It's like a real thing. It's not some belief based thing from storybooks. It's like, no. It's like real. Like black holes are real. Like the universe is real. Like if you believe in those, because
here's the thing.
You believe in universes?
Well, a few people believe space is fake.
Here's the thing about that that bugs me is that, so if a cosmic if hell is a real place and it's some cosmic otherworldly thing, why is it the portrayal of hell that we're all familiar with?
Sure.
I mean, there wasn't any fire in there. It was just kind of people being tortured.
Yeah.
I think so. It would be about it would be about thresholds of experience.
Or is it because that's the hell that we know, it's the hell that it's giving us?
You're right. I don't think it goes that far with its philosophy, but I think it has to do with pushing thresholds, meaning like pain. How much pain can people endure?
Yeah.
And in those scenes too, I mean, the most notorious scene in the movie is you have the crew that died before, and it shows little bits of their having like a flesh fucking blood orgy death thing.
Yeah.
And that's like the fucked up shit. That's when I saw it in high school, I'm like, that's fucked up.
Well, that's when the movie's firing on all cylinders, when it's showing that stuff.
Right. On that note, the blood orgy video was also longer in the original cut of this. The director is sometimes too busy filming other scenes, so the second unit director covered some parts. Real-life amputees were used for special effects scenes in which the crew members were mutilated, and then they got porno film actors were hired to make the sex and rape scenes more realistic and graphic. So they hired porn stars, and real amputees.
Yeah.
Real amputees and porn stars.
So I kind of feel like the story behind the movie is more interesting than the movie itself.
Oh, sure. Speaking of story, you're right. The movie has no story.
What do you mean?
He misses his wife.
I mean, that's like almost like able to be cut out. Because the story is...
That's what I mean. That's the only story.
Yeah, no, the story is they're going up there to bring back the survivors. Well, and he's going up to check out like what happened to his ship.
No, story means this character is going through this and this is the emotional journey they take. There's no character arc.
Well, and also I think...
There's also no plot.
The part to me that's frustrating is that everyone has their own like, I fucked someone over story. And
oh, yeah, that's true.
And I don't know. I don't know, dude. But I think that... We're almost in our 40s here, and I don't think between the three of us we have a story where like, dude, I watched somebody get lit on fire and just left them. Like I just
speak for yourself.
Well, okay, obviously.
I lit someone on fire and left them.
Oh god, stupid. I just thought like
George does always say like today. I would set a homeless person on fire for a burrito right now,
and I would.
And then there was like all those
big on that.
All those events in San Diego where people were setting homeless people.
Well, they
on
caught
fire.
That guy, by the way.
Yeah, he just wanted a fucking burrito.
No, I just think the character arcs are so trite and kind of silly that, and I get, we're talking real big about a dumb movie because this is a dumb movie. I don't think that you go into this movie thinking like, man, I'm really going to be elevated here. And boy, howdy.
Why didn't expect it to like, you know, change the way I looked at the world?
My moral compass has been corrected thusly. I don't, you know, I know it's not that movie, but at the same time, like, then don't feed me the moralistic bullshit about, oh, you left me behind.
Like, I think it's just more of people dealing with their personal demons. You
I think
know?
It's,
like,
if anything, you know what? I'll give it props in one way. It's trying to exploit the audience's guilt. Everyone has guilt. And so guilt itself is scary because it's a lot of time it's unnecessary.
Guilt is easy.
You're carrying, well, for fucking you. No, but
guilt is hella easy. You
guilt is easy.
Care.
Lifting is hard.
Right. But I mean, it's giving the idea.
I was scratching my shoulder.
I know what you were
it's
doing.
It's giving the idea that you deserve this. They deserve what happens to them, you know? And it's like, ooh. So it's just being, it's that old, like you said, that old model of hell in that sense. So it's involving it in an indirect way.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too. I don't know, man.
Was that black guy and the girl, were they like innocents then? Is that how they got out? Or is just lucky that they escaped?
There's no consistency there. I don't know.
they were the ones that didn't have a backstory. So maybe, I mean.
Yeah, they didn't have flashbacks or anything.
You've got a point. But what did the poor lady with the fucking crippled kid do?
I don't know. He had all those fucking weird ass legs. So maybe she was like abusive or like she was neglectful. And that's why his legs got all fucking weird. Like, because I don't mean weird like that he was crippled, but he had like giant like gashes and like bloody sores on his legs. So like, oh, maybe fucking.
And then when she fell, her fucking knees were all busted open. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I missed that.
Good gore in this film.
Fuck yeah, there is.
Yeah.
Well, that's why it has the following it does for the gore and the production design.
It's okay. So when you Google, you know, portrayals of hell in film, this is one of the movies that comes up.
It's the most stylized ship in a film like this, too, including Alien. Because in Alien, you'll remember, and again, Alien was first, but for the Nostromo, you'll remember the all-white computer room, you'll remember the deck, you remember the hallways. But this has, like, several environments that are very, very, like, you know, there's the one where it looks kind of like a hangar bay. There's the one where it has the rotating thing, which is completely impractical, but whatever. That's supposed to be what it's doing with the gravity.
With the gravity.
Thing.
Yeah.
There's the fucking...
Who knows? It looks good.
Yeah. I mean, there's... And then there's several other locations where the layout of the room itself is unsettling. Even when it's, like, symmetrical. Like, it's like... I'm trying to figure out, looking at it, I'm like, why is this an unsettling-looking room? And it's like, because... I'm like, it's not like, it's not asymmetrical. It's not like chaotic. It's ordered and everything. Yeah.
Well, even the look of the ship is imbalanced too, because you have parts of the ship that are very futuristic looking, like the medical bay.
Sure.
Had a very futuristic look to it. But then you have these rooms that look like, they're a medieval castle. And I'm wondering, maybe what Matt's saying is right, that the ship is sort of
manifesting,
modeling itself to model hell, which then is even sillier to me because I'm like, well, then hell is just kind of like a edgy place that like
sillier but good production values,
you know, where barbed wire is involved in hell. Like, is that a thing?
Fuck yeah, there are.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Barbed wire,
wrap it around your dick too.
You put the barbed wire in your urethra and they rip it out.
Yeah, it's like a G-string of fucking like, barbed wire.
Oh, speaking of which, there's a lot of goofy yelling in this movie.
Oh, dude.
One of the first lines in the movie is Coop. He says something like, time to play spam in the can or something like that. I'm like, what the fuck does that even mean? Spam in the can? I don't get it.
Spam in the can.
It doesn't make any fucking sense, but it's still awesome.
Yeah, you're a fan of this.
Dude, I remember the first time I saw this movie. Like, I was at Blockbuster with Stevie Dio, and we ran into this dude named Willow. Like, I mean, his name wasn't Willow, but we called him Willow because he looked like fucking Warwick Davis.
Damn.
And he's like, oh, if you guys want to watch something cool, check out this movie, Event Horizon. All right, cool. And we were like, fuck yeah, dude. When we were like 16, something like that, 17... This movie was badass.
Maybe that's what it needs, dude. Maybe it needs a 16-year-old edgelord.
Well, see, and then you're talking about like the characters being disposable, but that's one of the things that I love about slasher movies that you don't, you know, is that the characters are all kind of just there. They're just
But
got those A-list production values.
But
though,
but in a slasher movie, I don't expect to really have, you know, to understand, you know, the motivations of a character. But in this movie, they're feeding us motivation. And it's and to me, it's frustrating because
they're attempting things they don't pull off. Right.
Like what?
Like he's saying, they're trying to give motivation.
The backstory for why these people are, you know, are broken, and this one's got a crippled son, and this one saw somebody catch on fire. And I just, if none of it matters, then none of it fucking matters. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong. But it's still cool as fuck.
You're also not wrong. That's the thing. You're also not wrong. I don't want to say that if you like this movie, you're a fucktard.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, I fucking love Big Trouble in Little China. That's my favorite movie ever. Is it perfect? No, but like, is it fun as shit? Hell yeah.
But I don't think you're ever watching the film and thinking to yourself like, dude, this Jackie Burton, like, they're really going out of their way to
make him awesome, characterize him.
No, yeah, he's an awesome character.
It's tongue in cheek, though.
Yeah,
I don't think this. I
think
this is deadly serious.
Homeboy.
Well, I was gonna say, I think parts of this was kind of tongue in cheek in itself, like, you know, with the stupid jokes that were in it, and like
that's true. That's what it's kind of mismatched.
Okay, is that space leap thing? Is that supposed to be cool or is that supposed to be silly? Because that was silly as fuck. The tackle, like when the guy's coming out of the airlock,
that was. I don't know what it was supposed to be, but it is really goofy.
Yeah, and the portrayal of space, by the way.
Oh my god. See, that's a little too. See, I don't. What do you mean?
He's that like, dog, those weren't actual constellations.
He would not survive at all.
Okay, see, I'm not worried about that.
He would be dead instantly in a depressurized situation. Dead instantly. Instantly. There's no hold your breath or blow the breath out of your lungs.
Dude,
and
I've been in a depressurized fucking chamber in space, and let me tell you, dude.
It's the same.
It's exactly like they showed in the movie.
Your veins get all bulgy.
Yeah, you're talking. You haven't had a personal experience.
Yeah.
He like, barfs blood. The blood.
Yeah, yeah.
I liked all that, though. See, I like those, regardless if it's realistic or not. I'm not mad about them. All the blood there and all that. That was another one of those moments when I first saw it in the theater. I'm like, god damn, they fucking went far with this right now. And that guy is an awful fucking actor, by the way.
Oh, yeah, he's terrible. Everything he does.
And he was also in a Bon Jovi video at that time, which was also awful.
Yeah.
Everything he does.
Which one was it?
And
there
was that show on MTV. Yeah, yeah, it was not good.
There's just things that I, as,
Baby Bear.
As like a sci-fi fan, I just wonder, like, do 1 second of research. Dude,
you want more to chew on, of course.
You're in space with a thunderstorm that apparently...
Oh, that's Jack Noseworthy.
Apparently, when you're flying towards the ship, you don't just slow the fuck down because your instruments are telling you there's a ship coming up. So slow the fuck down. People can survive in a vacuum for extended amount of time, and then there's just this guy who can fucking Iron Man his way through space. No big deal.
That was tight.
He was also an Encino Man.
I don't know, man. Maybe I'm being too fucking nitpicky, but
you
fuck.
Because this movie's
the least of that movie's problems. I don't know if it's too nitpicky. It's low on the totem pole.
Yeah,
the whole. Bad dialogue, no story, no plot thing. And that's the thing, man. Like, here, look, if it goes, it doesn't have to have a huge story or plot to me. It doesn't. But say some goofy shit in this movie. There are some really, okay, when he comes out, when the other black dude comes out of the airlock, when he Iron Man's back to the ship, and they open the door, and they almost hit him. He's like, oh, he's like, no, don't hit me. Like, or I'm not even doing it that bad. Like, and he does it really bad. That's
pretty much how he said it.
It's pretty close.
It was fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Like,
that's, oh, don't hit me, dog.
They were going to hit him. They were going to hit him with things, and he didn't want to be hit.
They were going to bing him in his ding-ding.
Yeah. I don't know why he grabbed two-handed fucking bolt cutters to hit him with, too. That's going to be so unwieldy.
That's what when I saw that, they had all that shit on the wall all stylized. She had something
that was like a hammer axe. That was cool as fuck.
It was like a small hammer hatchet axe fucking thing, and he had some clippers like they were going to go landscaping and shit. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Yeah, all that shit's just hanging on the wall there for what?
I think they were like bolt cutters.
Yeah, I mean, and also, you know, and also the stuff that happens on the ship. I don't know, man. Like, I just want my fucking sci-fi movies to not be so fucking dumb.
I don't think so. I don't think it was dumb. Like, I mean, the acting, like, yeah, the acting may not have been top notch, but like the concept is cool that they opened a fucking wormhole, you know, and like in their attempt to go through point A to point B in space time, they actually go to fucking hell.
You know what it reminded me of, dude? Do you remember back when Art Bell was huge?
Art Bell.
Oh, fuck.
Art Bell's the guy in Coast to Coast.
Coast to Coast?
What's Coast now
they
to have, Coast?
Coast to Coast is a show on late night AM radio where they cover paranormal stuff, aliens. Great fucking show.
So, anyhow.
Goes all night. Now a guy named George Norrie does it.
He had a... He would take calls from different people about their like paranormal stories and whatnot. He had this call from a person who supposedly had recordings of hell that they had drilled a hole into the earth. And it was like a mile down, and they dropped a microphone, and the recordings that came out sounded kind of like the hell stuff that happened. I vaguely remember
hearing
it. It reminded me of that shit, and I was like, "Oh man, that's cool. I like that stuff."
Yeah, see,
but
it's cool.
Okay,
come on this side of the fence, George.
No, I'm not. The thing is, they're.
You like it. You just don't want to like it. You're like, this is not highbrow sci-fi.
It's not even about being highbrow. If it's gonna be lowbrow, then let it be lowbrow. If it's going to be highbrow, let it be highbrow. If it's going to pretend like it's highbrow and then give me some lowbrow shit and then but
lowbrow is one thing, incompetent is another. That shit when the fucking
You're saying
thing,
this movie is incompetent
with the fucking acting, with the line delivery, the dialogue and the execution of the directing of the actors, absolutely. They fucking open that door, he's like, "No, don't hit me." Like, he's a director. Like, say, "You know what? This is fucking dumb. Let's not do that. Let's cut that and try that again."
He also directed Mortal Kombat.
But Mortal That's Kombat, what I'm saying.
But see, Mortal Kombat, I don't think you don't go into Mortal Kombat, or me, I don't go into Mortal Kombat like, well, you know, Raiden, he's the god of lightning, but how does he command the power of lightning from his fingers? Like, I don't come out of that movie thinking like, well, this is logical because Reptile is clearly not a reptile, but how does he have the mouth that he spits acid? Well,
I'll say this too. Mortal Kombat has better characters and it has better dialogue.
What?
It does.
I think you're out of your fucking mind.
Your soul is mine.
That Way wasn't better. Even like, that's not even the dialogue for the movie. That's from the game.
Johnny Cage nut punches Goro, and I'm in. I'm so in, dude, on Mortal Kombat.
Fucking Mortal Scorpion? Kombat is just a Big Trouble in Little China ripoff. That's all it is.
Well,
hold on.
Grant, everything. It's all
everything is a fucking
cultural
ripoff, dog.
Osmosis is the word. Everything is
cultural osmosis.
Everything has absorbed everything else, even without intentionally knowing it has. Like, the guys fucking are influenced by shit they never saw because they're influenced by something that was influenced by it. Anyway, add that to the transcending and all that shit right
yeah.
there.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I got a question for you guys, though, okay?
Yes.
Paul W.S. Anderson. Do you guys know why he does W.S., by the way? Because there's Paul Anderson, who's the writer-director of There Will Be Blood. And Boogie Nights.
Who is a different director.
And The Master.
He needs to differentiate.
And Magnolia. Yeah, he's like, oh, I'm not that fucking genius. I'm this dude.
I'm this other guy.
So, 95, Mortal Kombat. 97, Event Horizon. 98, Soldier with Kurt Russell.
I'm into that movie.
Kurt Russell actually told him, like, yo, in 15 years, this is going to be a cult classic watch.
I don't know if I haven't seen it since. So maybe
I like Universal Soldier.
No, not Universal Soldier. It's just called Soldier.
He told Paul W.S. Anderson.
Van Damme is Universal Soldier.
Yeah.
He told him that Event Horizon was going to be a cult classic.
Well, he wrong.
Oh.
No, he's right, though.
He's right about that. Right. In that case. Okay. Resident Evil. Then Aliens versus Predator. You really pissed me off, motherfucker. Super into that.
That's the best one.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay. Then Resident Evil. Yeah, it's PG-13.
Yeah, it's so good.
So he makes Event Horizon, and then he does a PG-13 Aliens versus Predator movie. Like, good job. God damn, dude.
That's what the studio at least it wanted.
Fuck the studio, and he could have said no. And why did they have... Never mind.
He could have said
no
about editing.
Never mind. Look, the Predator teams up with some chick in the fucking movie.
When you're married to Mila Jovovich, she requires a very...
Oh, is he married to Mila Jovovich?
That's why she's in all the Resident Evil movies, my dude.
I thought it was because she was willing to get naked.
Resident Evil, brother. Apocalypse, Death Race. Mm.
Okay.
What is Death Race?
I like Death Race. It's got Jason Statham in it.
God damn.
And it's a movie about racing cars to the death.
It's just the new version of that other movie, uh-huh. Right?
Resident Evil Afterlife.
Okay.
Death Race 2, only producer. Resident Evil.
That was too far.
He felt so strongly about it.
Resident Evil Retribution.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember that one. Death Race 3, Inferno, producer only. Pompeii. Whew.
Yeah, that was a
Resident
shit.
Evil, the final chapter.
But it's not even the final chapter.
Death Race Beyond Anarchy, producer only.
He really likes those Death Race movies.
He fucking loves it. Dude, and now he has something upcoming called Monster Hunter in 2020, which I...
Oh, it's based on the video game.
I have no doubt we'll be watching this one.
Oh, dude.
The video game was really good, wasn't it?
The video game is tight as hell.
Yeah, I haven't played
it. Stars
that.
Mila Jovovich, Ron Perlman.
Oh, God.
Tony Jaa. Here we go. This guy's career... Fuck his career, dude.
Yeah.
So
man.
He directed one good movie, Event Horizon.
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat.
I would argue that.
I mean, I don't want to say Mortal Kombat.
His three best movies are Event Horizon, Mortal Kombat, and Resident Evil, yeah.
That was actually fun.
What's it called? What was the name of the hologram?
The Amy.
Yeah, that was fucking... I liked how that was done. Yeah, and that guy gets cubed, which is a ripoff of Cube.
The laser hallway is... That stuff is really... That's really neat.
Right, that was a ripoff of... When that guy gets sectioned like that.
Yeah, that's stolen.
And, Michelle Rodriguez wasn't a pain in the ass.
Oh, dude.
By then.
She's such a bad actress.
She's terrible.
Like, that movie where she's, there and she's holding her hand and it's bleeding. She's like, you like it? You like the taste of blood? Like, that was one of the most hilarious lines I've ever heard.
She's not... I'm not even saying she's good, but she wasn't, she hadn't been grating on the nerves as of yet in that movie.
Something unfortunate with this, too, to me, is there's some camera stuff in this movie where it's like, whoa, because it's the 90s and he's super modern. At the time, which now looks really bad.
Well, all the CGI is
some of the CGI in this was okay. I thought, a lot of it's dodgy, but the ship itself in front of
the liquid where he wiped it off the screen.
Oh, the liquid was bad.
Yeah,
especially when you consider fucking The Abyss came out in '89, and so this is almost 10 years removed from that. It's like, what the fuck?
What are you doing?
You can't do liquid. Like, shit.
I'm surprised because of, who it is. I'm surprised we didn't get like a jizz shot of jizz floating in the
space.
That
would be great. Like,
been a movie that's done that?
Probably not.
A jizz
maybe like Leprechaun.
Yeah, just like a little blob of jizz just floating in space.
That's a reason enough to, you could make a movie around just that shot. So whatever the premise you come to will just come from that.
One of the things I really liked was when they turned off the gravity and all the guts and stuff fell down. That reminded me a lot of Dead Space, but this was before Dead Space.
Sure.
And it just made me realize how bad I want a fucking Dead Space movie. But a legit Dead Space movie.
Fuck yeah. No, I thought of Dead Space several times in this movie.
We kind of have had a legit.
Have we?
Have you seen Pandorum?
Yeah, I have.
Pandorum, which he was also a producer on, by the way.
Pandora's pretty good. It's not a great movie, but it's fun and it's got a real Dead Spacey kind of vibe to it. It's one of the few,
But you have to get that tension that they had in Dead Space where you're afraid to go around every corner and I want to play Dead Space again.
Watch
I think
Aliens,
I have
dog.
He doesn't like that.
I mean,
yeah, I think I have Dead Space on,
which is where Dead Space got that from, but yeah.
ignore.
Hey, don't you alien me.
But anywho, yeah, I don't know. If you like the movie, fine. I don't want to think less of you.
Well, if you like the movie, you probably don't like it for its wonderful plot and story anything like that. But the gore and the production design, I think is it goes pretty hard with certain parts. That even being said, it's not very consistent. Meaning long stretches go on where nothing happens like that.
Well, maybe it's... See, I thought it was actually...
But it still looks cool.
I thought it was pretty well paced, honestly. It gets to the point like pretty much right away. They
it's only an hour and a half.
Yeah, but yeah, like still, I've seen movies that just fucking drag for an hour and a half.
Yeah, I don't see it building tension though. Is what I mean. It's like it was like it's like
no, you know, it really didn't.
We're not going to try to build tension.
It was kind of just like we're here. It's creepy. Who knows? And then it's like oh, everybody's dead. And then it's just kind of hurry up and wait until.
Speaking of which, the end.
Speaking of which,
the end, man. Where she has a she thinks. She has a bad dream or whatever it is, and then they tell her.
Hey. Oh, dude, they.
So what do you what do you think happened at the end?
I think it's a horrible ending. I don't even I don't know what happened. I don't even care.
I think that like the ship still has them in its clutches because if the whole ship was alive, they just blew the end part. But the ship is like alive. Well, no, in
because
of itself.
it's the core that's. The evil
well
part,
but no because when right? she did when she did the bio scan she said she was getting it throughout the whole ship and then she has the you know the revelation like I think the ship is like alive.
Well then let me put it to you this
and then
way
plus when they have
when they blew the ship apart they cut off its brain and its heart.
Yeah, but like the way the ending is the fact that she's essentially having this hallucination, you know, that Sam Neill is still there.
And also and a hallucination then, that she never saw him in that form.
Saw.
Yeah. So there's that. And then, like, the rescuers come in, and as the door
from
is, like, the door, the door closes by itself, and you hear the guy keep saying, we're safe, we're safe, we're safe. And it's kind of like, no, you're not safe. The ship is alive. You're just in the front of the ship just because you got rid of, like, its ability to go to hell doesn't mean that the ship isn't still sentient with magical powers.
Don't give me the happy wake up-y one if that's what we're trying to do.
It's a twist.
It comes down to me again. Like it has to do with flow and editing to me. I'm not the idea. Whatever that idea could always go good or bad depending how it's executed. How they did it, and then the guys come in, and then like the door shuts and it goes to the credits. Completely ineffective. Like yeah. What? Like, oh, that's the credits? Oh, good. Cool. Thank you. What the fuck?
And I even looked for a stinger. And I was like, did I miss the stinger, you know, 20 years ago?
I do like the 90s aesthetic, though, with the music. Like, the music kicks in. It's Michael Kamen who is responsible for, he did the Walls orchestrations. He did Lethal Weapon. He did Die Hard's music. Anyway, he got together with Orbital, which is a electronic music duo. And like from the get go, like oh, what happens at the beginning with the it shows the Paramount thing, and then it tilts, and it goes right into space.
And it's a weird version of the song too, right?
It's a little off. It's atonal, kind of.
Yeah, it sounds weird.
Yeah, which is like little stylistic flourishes like that. That's pretty fucking cool to me, and it gets you like in the zone of you're already like, oh, the universe this exists in is fucked up. Okay, cool. But it's got this, like, the electronic music, like, and it's showing, like, just that kind of whirling whirlpool fucking imagery and all that. Like, again, it's very 90s, but it is, I don't know. I don't mind it.
There's a lot of good here. I think, namely, effects.
Production design.
And production design.
Gore.
What it's got going for it. But other than that, man, crank this movie down to... You know, cut it even shorter, or extend the scenes of gore.
I want to see the. And I know it's not all gore, but the 45 minutes that gets added, there's a whole lot of gore. They cut it out because it was too violent. And I guess like the studio and test audiences were like, "Nah, dude, this is too crazy."
Make that stuff more coherent for me. I wanna have a better view of what this universe's hell is. Give me a little bit more of it, make it more coherent, and I'm way in.
So on the special edition DVD, they have the extended cuts of hell and the extended cuts of like the blood orgy and what the crew went through.
Yeah.
But a lot of the stuff is so poorly taken care of that it's never going to be released. Like, I mean, a lot of that stuff has been released, but the rest of the movie, like apparently they found... in like a lot of weird places, like one was in a, or part of the movie was in a Transylvanian salt mine. I don't know how the fuck that happens, but I guess segments of it were not
of the set. You mean
of like the whole of the stuff that was cut?
Oh, like the film, yeah. The actual film.
Yeah. Like segments of what was cut was found like in all kinds of random places. And so it was so poorly taken care of that it can't be released.
Huh?
But a bunch of the torture stuff and the hell stuff is on the special edition DVD.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I'm into that stuff. I mean,
I'm fucking down.
I would love to see. I would love to see that aspect of the movie more fleshed out, literally and figuratively.
Yeah,
fleshed out.
But otherwise, kind of fucked this movie.
Is that the name of your new mathcore band,
fleshed
bro?
Fleshed out, dude.
I like mathcore.
You do.
I fucking really do.
All right. Well,
that's not a mathcore band name, by the way, at all.
It would be because it's subversive.
Fleshed out.
Yeah, you're like, oh, what's this about? Is this? No, it's mathcore, dude.
That motherfucker though, who goes in there? That dude, you know, that dude who goes to the decompression thing.
Not good.
Not good.
Mama right. Bear.
Mama Bear.
Nose the door. Yeah, baby bear. Noseworthy.
Noseworthy.
More like earworthy, but whatever.
He's got worthy?
Fucking huge ears.
Oh, okay. Got
more
it.
Like D-worthy.
Yeah. All right. Some well, that's the Who Goes There podcast for Event Horizon. The majority of you fucks will probably dislike me for not liking this movie, but whatever.
Yeah,
I don't care.
You guys are going to get some
I'm going to get some
this.
Hate. Whatever. I don't care. George, you just don't get it. Yeah, cool. I don't get it. I don't get it. Cool.
I respect what it does well. And if you haven't seen it, I definitely recommend it because, yeah, if you're a horror fan, there's gore. There's a lot. There's good quality gore. It's unsettling. There's disturbing imagery. And there's good production design. But I wouldn't be surprised if you're bored to death otherwise.
Matt,
or it's just not very memorable.
Matt, what's the links?
Find us on social media on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitch at Who Goes There Podcast, and Twitter and Letterbox, duh, at Who Goes There Pod. Litter box.
Ooh, cat life, am I right?
God, I fucking wish. Just sleep all day and then wake
shit
up.
Shit in a box.
Wake up, eat, and get pet, and go back to sleep.
I mean, you basically have that life.
Like the fucking life. Yeah, right. I wish I could sleep. Look at this. Does this look like I've slept recently?
Are you going overseas? Because you got bags packed under your eyes. Got him.
God damn it.
Later, dummies.
I'm not going to worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever going to be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.